In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The disciples James and John, sons of the wonderfully named Zebedee, think Jesus is the best thing that has happened to them since sliced bread. He is their leader, and boy, are they onto a good thing. This guy is an awesome leader. He can heal the sick. He can walk on water. He can turn water into wine. He annoys the Romans and not get caught. Well, not for the time being anyway. He can throw shopkeepers around a synagogue. He casts out demons. He talks to God. He forgives sins. He gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and speech to the dumb. So why not, they think, James and John, can we not have a slice of that pie? If this guy is so awesome, and we've stuck around with him so long, surely we can get a slice of the action. All this good stuff he keeps coming up with, can't we get a little bit too? So they ask him to agree to do whatever they ask. Teacher, they say, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus answers them, and you can hear Jesus' caution in his response to them. What is it that you want me to do for you? And then the brothers spill the beans. Make us great, they say to Jesus. Whatever happens next, put one of us at your right hand and the other at your left, in your glory. We just want some glory. That is all, just some glory. Give us some glory. Now, when you put it like this, we see that their request is pretty juvenile. Highlighted by Jesus telling them that they, quote, do not know what they are asking. If you're in a conversation with someone and they ask you something and you reply to them that you do not know what you are asking, it's a pretty solid put-down about what someone's ignorance really is. He then goes on to say, and nor are you able to go through what Jesus knows is about to happen to him. And that is his suffering and his death. Boldly, James and John reply, sure we can. We can do that. Ominously, Jesus then decrees that they too shall in fact drink the cup that Jesus drinks, that is, losing one's life, pointing toward the eventual martyrdom that at least James we know of suffered. Years later, he was beheaded. But then Jesus says, to determine who sits at the left or the right hand of God, however, is not a power that he possesses, and thus he cannot grant. Such reaching for greatness by James and John, the sons of the wonderfully sounding Zebedee, prompts anger from the other ten, the other apostles. I wonder if it prompts anger from them because perhaps they too thought that they were in fact the greatest of the 12. Perhaps they too liked hanging around with Jesus and being associated with this wonderful stuff. Perhaps they too would like a slice of the action. Perhaps they too thought that they should be rewarded for being a disciple right from the word go. So Jesus, in a similar vein to the conversation he had with the disciples that we heard a few weeks ago, he sits them down. Now, sitting down was the posture of rabbis when teaching, after all. He sits them down and he teaches them what true leadership and greatness really looks like. Not for the polls, not for social media, but for everyday people doing everyday things. According to Jesus, those who follow him shall not lord it over others, nor be tyrants. But they must in fact become a servant of all. for whoever would be first must be the servant of all. And I'm pretty sure that that's not what James and John had in mind. Jesus' style of leadership is the ultimate style of leadership, for it is the kind of leadership that is espoused, directed, and endorsed by the Son of God. It looks a lot different to many contemporary examples of leadership, primarily because it practices the radical belief that the one who leads is the one who serves. Not the one who leads is the one to whom everybody else serves. Jesus therefore looks a lot different to many of our contemporary leaders. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not suggesting that current premiers or PMs are unable to serve others or are unwilling to do so. Public life still does demand a great deal of oneself if it is to be truly embraced and undertaken. But the model proposed by Jesus and contemporary models of leadership, especially in politics and business, are often radically different. Let's be clear here. What makes Jesus' style, his model of leadership, unique is this. When Jesus leads, he leads into and out of death. He serves others such that others might get life. He lays down his life for his friends so that they may live. He gives of his very life everything so that others might live. As we heard him say in the Gospel this morning, for the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Sometimes the best way, I think, to learn something is by contrast. So, by contrast, let's look at, say, the leadership style of someone quite different to Jesus. Let's look at the leadership style, so to speak, of the devil, especially as recorded in the temptations of Jesus in the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel. Let me just read that text to you and get you to think about leadership. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil offers Jesus three distinct ways to lead. At first, the devil suggests that Jesus should use his powers to transform stone into bread. In other words, to abuse the power of his own hands for his own self-satisfaction. Secondly, all the kingdoms of the world, their glory and riches can be Christ's if only he will worship the devil. "All this can be yours," he says, like a game show host, "as long as you deny at the heart of your being who you are." For us, he says to us, "All this can be yours as long as you deny at the heart of your being the one who created you, the same God." In other words, the devil says to Jesus, sell your soul and all this can be yours. And thirdly, by throwing himself off the pinnacle of the temple and asking the angels to catch him, the ultimate Hail Mary throw, Jesus should put God to the test, trying to bend the will of God to the will of himself. In other words, to use God for one's own benefit. There are, I think, three grand malpractices of leadership there. To abuse the power at one's hands for one's self-satisfaction. To deny the very God who gave you the talent in the first place. To use God for one's own benefit, for one's own aggrandizement. We might and indeed should hold our current leaders to a very high standard, premiers and prime ministers alike. And boy, aren't they in the spotlight at the moment. They, like us, won't ever be exactly like Jesus, but they should be for us Christians, exercising a leadership is as close as it can be to that of Christ's, because Christ is our standard. That is our expectation as believers. We want people to lead like the pinnacle of leadership, the leadership of Jesus. Is that a tall order? Yes, indeed. And unfortunately, the tall order is also demanded of each of us. Every Christian is asked to exercise leadership in a variety of ways, some small, some large. We must lead on a sports team or in a family, in the workplace, in the community, as a would-be deacon, and yes, even as a priest. We are to lead as a spouse or as a parent, as a teacher, as a bishop, as a church volunteer, as an employer or employee, as a friend. And for some of us, big decisions about future leadership are at stake right now. First jobs, new jobs, new studies, life with COVID after these restrictions lead. All new circumstances in which we shall be called upon to exercise some form of leadership. We too are called to lead as Jesus would, to serve and not be served, to give and to give one's life for the life of others. The attributes we rightly demand of our leaders, of our politicians, must be attributes that we too are aiming to hold. Today we hear again of and from Jesus, the one who gave his life for us so that we might truly live. He leads us with love and with self-sacrifice and as one who serves all. He bids us do the same.